I appreciate the good, humble prayer, and I'm very thankful to be amongst the praying people this morning, not just the prayers that were offered this morning, but the prayers that all of y'all have offered over the course of the week for this day, and right now, and Lord willing, beyond from now. If the Lord would be with us, I appreciate your prayer, Brother Bob. I appreciate the centeredness of it, and we are here for a singular purpose. And that purpose is to glorify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last song that was selected was Jerusalem, My Happy Home. And in way of introduction, it sparked a thought within me just how we are sitting, Lord willing, in Jerusalem right now. Not physical Jerusalem, but a spiritual Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you see, in the spiritual tense, it's not these walls that are here on this building. It's not the floorboards. It's not the pews that we're sitting on, but Jerusalem is from above. And I'm convinced that if we are to sit here in the service of Christ in spiritual Jerusalem, some people call it the spiritual side of the church, it is something that has to come down to us. That's only by the power of the Lord, but it's also something that we have to be brought up to. We have to be brought out of the way of these bodies of sin, out of this vessel of clay, if you will. We need to be brought to that. Calls us to ascend. The song says, reach down thine arm of grace and calls me to ascend. Up from the cares of this world, up from the sin that doth so easily beset us, up from all of our temptations that we have. Calls us to ascend. And Lord, please meet with us in that place. We don't have the power to do that. We are utterly unable to do that. Something that's bigger than us, something that's more powerful than us. If there was ever a reason to pray, I say that's a good reason.
Amen.
It says in Isaiah, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth out peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And that's the proclamation for us today, is thy God reigneth. The watchmen shall lift up the voice, and with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. And this is why I'm right here. This is the thought that I wanted to get. And this is something that was a beautiful sight to see this morning. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of where? Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. When the prophet wrote this, he saw Jerusalem as a wasteland. He saw Jerusalem as a place that had been taken captive and ransacked. The temple was gone. It was a sad place to be because there was so much worth in Jerusalem. There was so much worth put in that temple. The temple of Solomon himself, it was a glorious place where even Solomon prayed over that the Spirit of the Lord would abide there. It would be a special place just like the church is to us now. And they saw that place ransacked. But yet Isaiah, right here, he says, break forth into joy. Sing, ye waste places of Jerusalem. We're scattered around Jerusalem, looking at the destruction of this big city, and yet he says, break forth into joy. Why? Because the Lord, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. You see, Isaiah, it's not this building that we're looking at. It's not this life that we have around us. It's not the sin that's around us. It's not this vessel of clay. It's spiritual Jerusalem that we're looking toward, the place that will never be ransacked, the place that will never be done away with, where Sabbaths never end.
Amen.
Thank you for bearing with me in that. I just felt a conviction to say that. Our thoughts this morning are found in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. This is a pretty timely message that's on our hearts for this morning. But just because it's a timely message, it does not mean that eternal things are not a part of this. You see, most of the timely blessings that we have in life, they are rooted in joy of looking for a better day. They're rooted in joy of looking for the time when the Lord will come back. to take all of his ransom home, and we'll be with him in heaven one day. They're rooted in looking at the justification of the Lord's people. Does it change any of those eternal things that the Lord has already applied to us or will give us one day? No, it does not. But the joy is rooted in looking at those things. So just because something is a timely message, it does not mean we don't glorify the Lord for those eternal things that he has already given us. In Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people." Wow, that's a scripture right there. That is amazing to think about, that Jesus, the Son of God himself, went teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. That is amazing. Amen. Verse 26, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So here's the picture right here. Jesus sees this huge multitude of people that's been following him. It seems that they've been following him for some days now. And this is the same people that he healed many people out of, the same people that had all those diseases, the same people that he was preaching to, the same people that he was teaching. But when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with love. Something struck him right there. What struck him? He saw them fainting, possibly physically. He saw them scattered, possibly physically. But I say that there was a deeper context to this. Amen. That they might have been fainting spiritually. They might have been scattered amongst themselves in their mind, and possibly spiritually. They were as sheep not having a shepherd. Now, we as Bible readers know that Jesus is the true shepherd. We know from the 23rd Psalm that the Lord is our shepherd. And because the Lord is our shepherd, we have need of nothing. He is the true shepherd. When we look to him, he has all that we need to get through in this life. He alone is the expiation for our sins. He alone took our sins upon himself and took them out of the way, nailing him to his cross. Yes, the Lord is the shepherd. Yes, the Lord is the only shepherd that we truly need. But you see, in this life, we have what's called, as a pastor, as an under-shepherd. Those that lead us in the service of the Lord, those that preach, those that lead us as a congregation of people and as a church, they are known as shepherds as well. They're the under-shepherds, seeing as they are under the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't have the authority that they do. But these people were scattered, and they fainted because it seemed that they had no shepherd. They didn't have direction where they needed to go. When someone faints, they can faint for a variety of reasons. They could faint because they have no water. They could faint because they didn't have food. They could faint because they didn't have the right type of food or the right type of electrolytes or something of that sense. And I think we can take something from that. When we don't have the proper diet as children of God in the church, we can faint. Things will take us off guard. We will be shaken on our feet, and we won't know what's happening right there. One example could be brought that if we do not feed ourselves and we do not hear on a regular basis the whole counsel of God, and sometimes that's not fun to hear. Sometimes, as children of God, we have to do unpleasant things. Sometimes there's discipline that needs to be met up. Sometimes we see things in our life that are not according to the path of faith. and they're not according to what the Lord would have us walk in, and we need to change those things about ourselves for His glory. Sometimes as a church body, in order to reflect the Lord, and His bride, there's discipline that needs to be met out. And that's not out of spite. That's not out of hate. That's not out of wanting to get back at someone in particular. That is a message of love. And that is a message of that we will do what needs to be done in order to do what the Lord said to do. If we do not have the proper diet, we will faint. There were some sheep described here that were scattered. And one of the reasons I believe that they were scattered was because they went after their own way. They took their own devices and said, I'm going to follow that. Another scripture in Isaiah in the 53rd chapter reads in the 6th verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Going the way that I want to go. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's an amazing scripture. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise God, he took our sins out of the way. But that's something that grips us from day to day. Many times, we are just like those sheep, and we go astray from our Lord. We don't do the things that we need to do, and we're scattered. And it looks like, sometimes from the way that we live, that we don't have a guide, because we are our own guide. It is so important for us in the Church of Jesus Christ, in our lives, that we have that point of our true shepherd, the heavenly shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, and follow him as our point in life. The apostle said, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Why is it a mark? It's a definite point, and that definite point is Jesus Christ himself. That's what we push towards. I love all of you here. I love Brother Paul. I love Brother Riley. They are wonderful examples of us to go after in this life and us to be like them. They are not the mark because they're men. They're sinful men. As much as they try, as much as we try to glorify the Lord, if we put a person as our point of reference in life, we will not fulfill what the Lord said do, because our reference is not men. Our reference is not what the world says to do. Our reference is not our own self. Our reference is the Lord. He is what we push to. He is what we find fulfillment. That being said, in verse 27, Jesus says to his disciples after seeing this multitude, fainted and scattered, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I think we can echo that first part of that sentence right there. The harvest is plenteous. If you were here 2 weeks ago and you got to experience some of that good meeting that we had, the Lord blessed it. And we were able to say, the harvest is plenteous. When we read the Word of God, we see all these different aspects of what has happened in this world and what the Lord has done for us, what the Lord has applied to our hearts, and what we should do in response to that. It's amazing. It's plenteous. It's broad. It's deep. It's a depth unknown by us men. It is amazing. But he says here, the laborers are few. He saw sheep scattered. He saw sheep fainting because they didn't have instilled in their mind the guide they needed to have. They were spastic, if you will, in the way that they were going. And the Lord in response said to that, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now I want to make a point right here that I believe that this word laborers says here, it does not only have reference to gospel ministers. I believe it has reference to every single one of us sitting right here. Those that would labor, those that are sometimes heavy laden. Now, we might not have the same gift as a preacher would of someone who would go from church to church and preach forth and be a pastor of a church. But you, child of God, you have a gift. And that gift is something that the Lord has given you. And that gift that's inside of you has a responsibility to be held right, because the Lord has given us. He didn't give us something that He wouldn't want us to use. He didn't tell us something for it to be pointless. He said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest. That is not a bad thing to pray for at all. That the Lord would send forth people who would see Jesus Christ high and lifted up, see Him in spirit and in truth, and as we have been blessed to see Him before, that the Lord would add to the church such as should be saved, but that we would also grow in grace and knowledge of Him. It's not a bad thing to pray for laborers. It's not a bad thing to say, Lord, bless me to be a better laborer. Bless me to know what You would have me to labor towards.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 20, we see a very good picture of this whole situation wrought out. Matthew chapter 20, in verse 1, reads this: For the kingdom of heaven, and whenever this passage right here, whenever one of the gospels says the kingdom of heaven, many times it is referencing us right here in spiritual Jerusalem. Many times it is referencing the church of Jesus Christ and being able to enter into that in a real and a precious way. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, that's a day's wage in that time, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour, that's 9 o'clock in the morning. So he's hired some, and now he's going back out at 9 o'clock, and he's going to hire some more. And saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto him, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, that's 12 o'clock and that's 3 o'clock in the day, and did likewise with more men. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others, that's 5 o'clock, standing idle, and saith unto him, Why standest ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from those that were called at 5 o'clock and down. Lost my place, I apologize. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received a penny, every man, a penny of a day. So everybody got a penny. Everybody got a day's wage. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour. They ended at 6 o'clock and they were hired at 5. They've only worked for one singular hour. These have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he, Lord of the vineyard, answered one of them, and saith, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful, for me to do what I will, even with mine own? is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. That was a very lengthy passage right there, but I think it bears reading to get the contents with what's in it. So here, we have this situation of what seems to be kind of weird, in my opinion, to be honest with you. This lady, this steward of the vineyard, went out and he hired a bunch of guys at different times in the day that he saw in the marketplace, and he said, go work in the vineyard. That's very similar to what happens to us many times in life when the Lord calls us to be a laborer in his vineyard, to be a laborer amongst the people of God, to be a laborer in the church in Jesus Christ. You see, this is a huge blessing to me. All of my life, I've been blessed to sit pretty much right there, been blessed to sit under the sound of the gospel. I have no idea when the Lord changed my heart. I have no idea when that spirit first came in and said, live, and he cast out that heart of stony heart and gave me a heart of flesh. But I do remember the first time that I heard the gospel, and it was sweet to my taste. And at that point, I joined the church. At that point, I was baptized. At that point, I made a commitment to become a laborer in the Lord's vineyard, to be faithful of this body, to this body of people, but more importantly, to be faithful of the Lord and serve him every single day of my life. And that's what all of us commit to when we join the church and when we are baptized. It is not a lax thing. It is a full life commitment. It's much like a marriage. And I believe the Lord puts the same respect on it than he does marriage. And we need to hold that very, very close to us. But these men that were called, they were promised a penny a day. So what's our penny a day? Penny a day. I believe it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is dwelling in his kingdom. It is having close fellowship with the bridegroom. When we are blessed to sit under the sound of the gospel, when we are blessed to be laborers in the harvest, we have close fellowship with him. We walk in the light as he is in the light. What's the result of that? We have fellowship one with another. That's a penny, brethren, and that's a good penny. That's the best penny I've ever heard of in my life. It's not just one day's wage. It is one day's wage, and it'll keep you going for many days, but it is a precious thing. Just because it says it's a penny right here does not mean it's not worth anything. It is worth a lot. It will get us through the day. It'll get us through our life. Praise God for what he has said to us.
Amen.
But they were promised a penny a day. Some worked all the day for it. Some worked since 9 o'clock. Some worked since 11 o'clock. Some worked since 3. And some only worked an hour. And when these laborers came back to the Lord of the vineyard, some of them had their head all bent out of shape. Number one, Lord of the vineyard, you paid the people that worked at 5 o'clock before you paid us. Now, that's kind of a disservice because we've done more work with you. You see all this hay over here? You see all of this, all of these grapes that we've harvested for you? We did that. All of this stuff over here, and these people have only come back with a little bucket. Doesn't that seem weird to you, Lord of the vineyard? And he said, no. No, it doesn't. You know why? Because I promised a penny a day. That's what we agreed on. That's what we said. And that is what the Lord promises you, child of God. Matthew chapter 11 says, all ye that labor and are come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise right there, that he will give you rest, that he will give you that penny a day, that he will give you what you need to go on to this life, have wonderful fellowship with him in a life of service. That's a joy.
Amen.
That's the penny a day. And that is what he has promised every single one of us. And that's what he promised all of these people as laborers in the vineyard. Sometimes we can look around us, and those maybe that are physically younger than us, or maybe those that have come to the church a little bit late in our life that have joined. And we could say, why did they get the same thing that we get? Shouldn't we have a little bit more because we've worked harder? Shouldn't we get a little bit more accreditation? Shouldn't we, you know, some would say you have a whole world when you go to heaven by yourself, or maybe you'll have a little bit of a bigger mansion. No. The Lord has promised to us the same thing, and it is glorious. It is wonderful. He's definitely promised us the same thing when it comes to being with Him in heaven one day. But we in the Lord's church, as laborers, He's promised us the same thing. And it's the best thing that we could ever have in life. It's that clear day. The servant said, "Is thine eye evil? Because I am good." And then Jesus says again, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen." Lord, we'll make one last point, and then we'll sit down and give way to Brother Mark. But it says, "For many are called, but few chosen." You see, all of these people were in the marketplace. All of these people that the Lord chose to be laborers in the vineyard were in the marketplace, and they wanted to work. Some went out in the field very early, as we talked before. Some went out in the field very late. They were all called, but only few really enjoyed the blessing that the Lord had given them. Some were repulsed by that penny a day. And I almost hate to use that terminology, but it seems to be true. He said, the laborer in the vineyard said, "You've only given me a penny a day? Like, that's all that I get." He did not realize the worth of it. Amen. And sometimes, child of God, I'm ashamed to say it, but I've been in this place before where it seems like I've been laboring day in, day out, and in my own life in service to the Lord, and I don't appreciate that penny like I need to appreciate it.
Amen.
And I tell you, brethren, that is a time in my life where I am called, but I am not chosen. And I believe that word "chosen" is appropriate to use right there, because we find in John chapter 4, and in verse 23, this is talking to the woman at the well here. John chapter 4 and verse 23. "But the hour cometh, and now is," it's a present time, "when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." I believe the point of this passage right here, I believe the point that the Lord is trying to get across to us is this. It does not matter how long you have been laboring, whether it's been 6 hours, whether it's been 3 hours, whether it's only been 1 hour, it's been your entire life. We seek fellowship with the Lord. We all have the same thing. We all have the penny. And the difference between being called and being chosen is that we are all called as laborers in the vineyard, as the Lord's church. But we need to show up expecting the joy of receiving that penny and using that penny the Lord in the way the Lord would have us do it.
Amen.
Lord bless y'all. I thank you and I appreciate you.
Very thankful for this good message that's been preached to us this morning. And as Brother John Mark was preaching and he was bringing things to my mind as he was, I really thought about the stark difference between these two kinds of workers. One saying, "Lord of the harvest, I deserve more than you're giving me." Whenever we think like that, that is wrong thinking. When I saw Sister Linda Hughes this morning, she said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Way better than I deserve." And that's true. It's always true. Even when we think it's not true, it's true. There were some in this vineyard that said, "I deserve more than He's given me." And there was some in the vineyard that realized, "I have far more than I deserve." You know, the Lord appreciates our labors in His vineyard. He smiles upon it. Where we've been trying to preach in Matthew chapter 5, and I don't plan to go back there to cover verses numerous verses in succession, but just to pick out one verse that's a little ahead of where we've been, where the Lord Jesus in Matthew 5 and verse 41 would say, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 20. Now, the time that that would most likely happen would be when a Roman soldier would come to you and say, "I'm tired. You need to carry my big backpack a mile." And some of the Jewish leaders of the day said, "We're not doing it." Because this conquering, governing authority that's come upon us, and we're really not totally free, because this Roman soldier tells me to do it, I'm not doing it. And there was some resistance to that. Lord Jesus said, if he asked you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. How much more should we be willing in our service to the Lord? That's really to a Roman soldier. That's, yes, I know they've done a lot of wrong, but they are the governing authority, and unless they ask you to do something that is against my holy word and against what God says to do, do it. That's one of the reasons we're to obey the laws of the land, unless they contradict God's law. Then God's law comes first. That's why Peter would say we ought to obey God rather than man. But how much more? What's the Lord saying? Do more than you're asked. I love the scene there in Genesis chapter 24, where the servant of Abraham is going and he's to find a bride for Isaac. And here's the master, the servant of the master, who's been given a really tough job. He's to go off to a way off far land to find a bride for Isaac, convince this bride to come back to a man she's never met, and go hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. Now, how would we like that job? And the servant of the master realizes, this job is way too big for me. Do you ever feel like the job you need to do in the Lord's house and the service of the Lord is way too big for you? I think we've all felt that way. I certainly feel that way pretty much all the time. One of the scariest things to me about being a minister of the gospel is to know how many eyes of the Lord's little sheep look on me. Because I realize full well what Brother John Mark preached to us. Don't put me up as an example, because I'm a sinner just like you are. And I mess up. And I fail to do things I ought to do. And sometimes I do things I ought not to do. And I know the Lord's little sheep's eyes are on me. Some of you are young enough. I'm the only pastor you've ever known. That scares me. But I hope in trying to preach the gospel to the Lord's people that I've never pointed you to myself. But I've always pointed you to the perfect one, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, our ultimate shepherd and our friend. You know, the Lord in the book of Ezekiel would condemn the leaders of Israel. He would call them shepherds because they were leaders. And he said, you're supposed to take care of the sheep. And he said, you fleece the sheep. The sheep have been sick. The sheep have been lost. The sheep have been wandering. And you didn't go find them. You didn't take care of them. And the Lord says, behold, I'm going to go. And I'm going to find my sheep. And I'm going to bind up that that's broken. You see, our shepherd's the Lord Jesus Christ. He has everything that we need. Here, the servant of Abraham in Genesis chapter 24, he's got a job that's way bigger than he is. What does he do? he prays. In Genesis chapter 24 and verse 12, he prays. Right there on the spot, he's gone to the place that Abraham has sent him to go to. He's far away from home, but he's not far away from prayer. You know, we are never far away from prayer. I don't care where we are. We can go boldly to the throne of grace, and the Lord can bless a little bit of heaven to open, and we can commune any time, any place with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. How much do we need that? Every day, numerous times a day. And here the servant of Abraham goes to pray. He said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Lord, bless me. Lord, this job is bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. Lord, help me. Lord, bless me." We need to pray that prayer every day. "And show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also." The servant of Abraham is praying that he'll be blessed to meet a young woman that'll do more than he asked. Sound like what Jesus said? If he says go a mile, go with him twain. Be willing to do even more than you're asked. We ought to be willing to be very diligent laborers in the vineyard. Diligent laborers in prayer. Diligent laborers and being in the house of God, worshiping together. Diligent laborers in going after the sheep that may be lost. Brother John Mark had a video in the last day or two, and I think this animal was a sheep. I couldn't totally tell, but it fits with the sheep, so I'm going to call it a sheep. And there's a guy giving verbiage. Here's a sheep that's gone off in a ditch. And the guy comes and he gets the sheep, and they're putting words in the sheep's mouth. "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. I'll never go in this ditch again. Just please, please. I'll never do it again." He lets the sheep down and runs straight back to the ditch. And I thought, how true. How true it is. The Lord's so good. He said, "Lord, show me a woman that when I say, give me something to drink," she say, "Yeah, I'll give you something to drink, but I'll give you camel's drink also." And I love this because there are certain prayers we pray in our life that we pray again and again and again and again. And at some point, many years down the road, we see the sweet answer to that prayer. But there's some prayers we pray that before we have done speaking, before we get up off our knees, that God Almighty has already answered that prayer. How many times have I gotten down on my knees with the wrong attitude and the wrong desires in my heart, but before I got up off of my knees, it was all fixed and God had blessed me and God had answered my prayer. Before he had done speaking, Rebecca. Who's Rebecca? The answer to his prayer? The one that God has to marry Isaac. And she did just like he asked. She was willing to do more than she was asked. I want to be a laborer that's always willing to do more than I'm asked. And there's such a sweet and a wondrous blessing in that. Any little bit of effort we give in serving the Lord, he abundantly blesses. Every person that was laboring in the vineyard, there was a sense they got the same thing because they all got a penny. But some sure appreciated that penny more.
Amen.
They sure got to enjoy the benefits of it more. You know, there's been some times when I've been in the house of God and my mind has been too much on the things of the world, and I see brethren and sisters around me rejoicing. And I'm not feeling it. That's on me. The penny was there. The Lord of the harvest was there, but I was missing it because I was focused on other things. The Lord blesses us so much, and what a sweet privilege it is to be a laborer in His vineyard. What a sweet illustration that is. What's in the vineyard? The fruits of the vineyard. One time the Lord Jesus, in describing the kingdom of God, He described it as treasure. But it's hid in the field. But He said, but when a man hath found, he'll go and he'll sell all that he has to buy the field. He realized the tremendous value of the treasure. The Lord's blessed us with a treasure house of blessings in His house. He's blessed us to be able to serve Him. Now, would to God I'd always be a servant that would do more than He asked. What a blessing there is when we serve Him. The Lord can just heap blessings and blessings. When I do any service for the Lord or for His people, I come out way more blessed than the person I was trying to serve did. Can't tell you how many visits I've ever had with the people of God where I'm thinking I'm going to encourage them. I come out, they've encouraged me. I make a phone call to encourage a brother or sister in Christ. They encourage me. They give me what I need. The Lord can so abundantly bless, and His blessings never run out. He can give us help when we need it. We need it a lot every day. He can heap blessings upon us. And what a blessing it is to serve Him. I was so thankful for all the sweet and wondrous labors that we saw during the course of the meeting. Prayers that were prayed. Work that was done. Floors that were cleaned. Floors that were mopped. Food that was taken care of. Food that was cooked. And love that flowed from breast to breast, and prayers that were prayed, and the singing of the saints, of the rejoicing of the heart, the joyous listening to the gospel being preached. There's always labors in the kingdom of God, always people to call, always prayers to be prayed. And don't ever discount prayer. I felt the sweet prayers of the Lord's people in so many occasions, and some here that have been suffering with the illnesses of this life, they have communicated to me so many times how much they appreciate the prayers of God's people and how much it's lifted them up when they needed it most. The Lord's truly blessed us. It's such a blessing to be in His vineyard. And I hope that the Lord would bless me to always know it. Don't ever go to another field than the Lord's field. You know, when somebody's not at the house of God and they're forsaking the assembly, I don't even really have to ask how they're doing. I know they ain't doing good. They're not doing good. This world will try to catch you. This world will try to trap you. Satan will try to tempt you. And we need to be in the house of God when the church doors are open. We need the fellowship of the saints. We need the sweet fellowship of the Lord in prayer and in study of His word every day. You know, the Lord Jesus, when He was tempted by Satan those 40 days, He had a consistent and total and complete onslaught of Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine? Where Satan just repeatedly, again and again, we're given a snippet of it in the Gospels,
But every day, every second, every moment, Satan was attacking the Lord Jesus Christ and tempting him to do evil. The Lord tempts us. How did Jesus respond to all those temptations? He responded with Scripture. He didn't have to. He could have just said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and because of the awesome and majestic and immense power of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan would have been obliged to do what Jesus said. But he used Scripture every time. Why? For an example for me and for an example for you. That we fight Satan with the truth of the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, when the Apostle Paul talks about the whole armor of God, he only mentions one offensive weapon, and it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need the truth of the Word of God every day to fight the temptations of Satan. You know, it takes a fair amount of knowledge of the Word of God to know what Scripture to use at the right time to come against Satan. And that's why we need to know His Word. We need to be in His Word every day. And what a blessing it is. You know, the Lord has been so good to us. The Lord came down from heaven in a mortal glory, from a perfect place, from a place where the angels of God, all day and all night, He praise and honor and glory unto His holy and His majestic name. He came down here where He was mocked, where He was criticized, where people wanted to kill Him because of His love for me and His love for you. Jesus would say, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And the Lord Jesus bestowed upon us the greatest love that has ever been or ever will be. It's an everlasting love. It's a love that began before He ever said, "Let there be light," that the Lord Jesus loved us, and He's never going to quit loving us no matter what. But He also blesses us here in this life. And the closer we walk to Him and in His light and in His Word and in His church, the closer we feel to Him. We need to feel close to Him in this old world. And we'll feel the blessings of His presence more. We'll feel the touch of His gentle hand more because we're right beside Him. He doesn't ever leave us. But there's been plenty of times I've walked away from Him. May we stay close as the little sheep of the Lord, following close to the One who's able to take our sorrows, heal our wounds, fix every problem we've got. That's the Shepherd we serve. Until that one sweet day when He comes in the clouds and takes us home to be with Him forever and ever in heaven, immortal glory. What a wondrous Lord we serve. That's our Shepherd. That's our King. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.